justifier, a sinner saved by grace. Are you?
Amen.
Yep. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
Is it bigger? And then not only that, we've got something to look forward to. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 50, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Matthew 27, 45 through 50. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now Luke chapter 23, just one verse, verse 46. Because our subject tonight is the greatest cry ever heard on this planet. And now turning to it, in verse 46 we read, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight as we look into thy word and see again what you have done for us and why you have done it, our hearts are melting and we bow before you and say, Lord Jesus, who are we that you love us like you do and that you reach down and save us? But oh dear God, we know you have and we can't get over it and we can't serve you enough and love you enough and tell people enough about you. And oh dear God, how we praise you again for this church. Keep thy hand upon it, watch over it, protect it, provide, prosper, and promote it, as only thou art able. And Lord, may this church be the means of an awakening in this vicinity. Now direct us as we study together. We ask, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you, you may be seated. Today we're going to look at the greatest cry ever heard on planet Earth. This cry is not appreciated nor known by the vast majority of individuals who call themselves Christian or the rest of mankind. Yet this cry is the greatest and the most important cry ever uttered by a human being. And our lesson will fall into these simple categories. We're going to look, first of all, at the cry of anguish, and then we're going to look at the second one, the cry of absolute victory. Now the cry that the Lord Jesus uttered, which is the greatest cry in the universe, was these words, it is finished. And I'll tell you right now, he uttered that with a loud voice. It reminded me of you might say, somebody playing football. When they score a touchdown, what happens? Thousands of people cry out in exultation, but I'll tell you right now, Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and when he was all through, he looked around and he found very clearly. He cried out, it is finished. Because the last aspect that he had to do, he looked around and went through the scriptures and he found out that there was one scripture that hadn't been fulfilled and what was it? I thirst. And so he said, I thirst. And you know what happened? He bowed his head. He gave a great cry. It is finished. And then when that cry was done, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Now this is the cry of the Lord Jesus, and I believe myself, I may be as wrong as I can be, but you're going to have to prove me wrong. Because I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was thrilled when he finished, and when he said these words, it is finished. And to me, I'd like to add another word to it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ for just a few moments tonight. Our lesson will fall into these two categories. First of all, the cry of anguish examined. Go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 6. Listen again to what it says. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now how come God shut down the sun? And in Luke chapter 23, it'll tell you, the sun quit shining. And God turned that sun out. In other words, this world was in complete darkness. And if it had been much longer, it would have become a ball of lightness. We see now carefully. And from the sixth hour and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's the cry of anguish, and let's examine it. Number one, if we look at it, and we see very clearly, I see in this the Lord Jesus Christ a picture of an awakened sin. Now we talk about an awakening. And when we talk about awakening, we're talking language that the 95% of the so-called Christians today don't understand. But I want to say to you very kindly, the Lord Jesus Christ has to awaken a sinner for that sinner to get saved. Our brother brought that out so clearly last night. And we find when the Lord Jesus Christ hanging here on the cross, he's the picture of an awakened sinner. Notice, number one, naked. Number two, sinful. And we find sinful in the sight of both God and man, because the Lord God of heaven, made the Lord Jesus to become sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, I hope and pray that you do. The second thing about it was this. He was not only naked and sinful in the eyes of God and man, but we see him there, condemned and helpless before the Lord. Now you get this. The Lord Jesus Christ did not lose any of his deity on the cross of Calvary. He didn't lose any of it. And we find what happened. He hung there because I'll tell you what it was. Love held him there, did it not? And we find he hung there as a picture of a sinner shortly before that sinner gets saved. Condemned and helpless before both God and man. And my Lord did that deliberately. You and I do it also as the Holy Spirit of God opens our hearts and leads us. Because I'll tell you right now, no individual outside of an individual being awakened by the Holy Spirit, no individual is going to take this kind of a place before man or God. Because man is too much of a proud individual. And then, the third thing about it was this. Not only was he condemned and helpless before the Lord, but the third thing about it was this. He was conscious of his separation from God. Now hold your seat if I give you this truth, and think on it if you will. The Lord Jesus Christ was always the eternal Son of God. Daily in the councils of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ was daily the delight of the Father. But here on the cross of Calvary, God the Father turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? I'll tell you why. Listen to it. God cannot look upon sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us on that tree. And he hung there, condemned and helpless and hopeless, and I even use the term hapless. But it was done deliberately by him and by the rest of the Godhead. And we see it set forth, all right, the Lord Jesus was conscious of the separation between him and the Lord God of heaven. Then we find the second thing. Not only was the cry of anguish on the part of the Lord Jesus as an awakened sinner, but we have also here Christ crying the torments of the damned. Now hold your seat again. I'm going to tell you point blank. If you die without Christ, you're going to hell. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And don't think you won't. And I know people today don't describe hell. They don't like to talk about it. But I'll tell you right now, it's real, it's absolute, it's eternal, and it's reserved for the devil and his angels and every unsaved individual that never gets converted. Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? You think on that tonight. Now these are facts.
Yes.
And keep that in mind. So many times they say, well, you know, you're talking about these things and we just don't understand them. No, sir, my friend. There's some facts that need to be set out this morning, tonight. And what is it? Number one. Every individual is born a hell-bound sinner when he comes into this world.
Yes, right.
You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We're hell-born, we're hell-bent, and we're hell-deserving.
Yes, right.
And that's the way we are. And people don't like to hear that. But it's true. And we find when my Lord was hanging on the cross of Calvary, I'll tell you right now, he was crying out the torments of the damned, separated from the Lord God of heaven forever and ever and ever. That will be your situation. And then we find he was cursed. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to do one of two things for some of you here tonight. He's either going to receive you and save you, or he's going to let you go. And if he lets you go, put it down, you're going to stand before him one day, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to look at you, and he'll say these words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And the angels of God will pick you up and hurl you into the lake of fire, and you'll be there forever and ever. I'm going to tell you something. I'm speaking to you the truth. I don't want you to go to hell. And I pray and I preach for you, to some of you, for many years, and you're still not saved. Well, you're guilty of unbelief. And what is that? All right, what is it? Number one, hell is real. Heaven is real. My wife's there today. She's singing the praises of the Lord. And I think she's singing even some of the songs that she wrote. But she's praising the Lord, all right? She's waiting for me to come and join her, which we hope to do in the near future. Now you say, why do you tell us this? Because these are realities.
Yeah.
I don't care whether people don't believe it or not. It doesn't change in one iota.
Right.
There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun.
Right.
And every individual, if they got any sense whatever, are of super mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners.
Yes.
They're the sinner. Well, you might say, well, preacher, I don't feel like I'm that big a sinner. Too bad. You were born that way.
Yeah.
You're on your road to a devil's hell. You're hell-born, hell-bent, hell-bound, and hell-deserving. And we find when my Lord hung on the cross of Calvary, he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the cry of an individual suffering the torments of the dead. And we find my Lord enduring every bit of that. Because, why do I tell you this? Well, let me describe something, if I may. Hell is a dark and dismal region where men lie deprived of the light of God's countenance and tormented by the presence of the devil, held up to everlasting contempt, and become the burden of their own thoughts, calling to remembrance their past sins, having an active sense of their present pain, and knowing the reality of the eternal sin. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I'll tell you right now, that includes America.
Yes.
I love this country. And I'm crying all the time, Lord, save America.
Yes.
He can't bless us the way we are. We're too wicked.
Yes.
And then we find what happens. We see that he's bleeding and he's corrupting. And I'll tell you right now, we haven't got much time left. My Lord's coming again. Are you ready to meet him? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he came tonight?
Yes.
If he did, you know what happened? All our clothes would be left behind. You think of it. We wouldn't go naked. We'd be given a new body. And I'll tell you, it'd be the body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to heaven. You're going with me?
Yes. Amen.
You think I am. You are if you know the Lord. You're not if you don't know him. Now we find this is the Lord Jesus crying out the torments of the damned. And then we'll go one step further. There was also a cry here of absolute victory. I believe when the Lord Jesus finished it all off, because I'll tell you right now, the last prophecy that he finished, it said, I thirst. John chapter 19, verse 28 through 30. And the Lord Jesus, knowing every one of these things that were fulfilled with regard to his crucifixion, came to that verse of scripture, he said, I thirst. And they gave him some vinegar. And then they put it to his mouth, and went, touched his lips with it, and then what did he do? Let me tell you, he cried out, it is finished. And then he said these words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He bowed his head, and in dignity And not just see that he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And I'll tell you right now, his blood was presented in heaven, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, telling the Lord, telling us that all the Old Testament sacrifices had been fulfilled. Now this is the work of my Lord. And we find it was a fulfillment, the cry of absolute victory. And we find the will of God was absolutely fulfilled. He knew that. And we find also the work of Christ completely satisfied Jehovah God. He knew that also. And then we find also what happened. We see very clearly the satisfaction by his life and the satisfaction of sin that was forever finished. And I like that. One day my Lord convinced me that I was lost and vile. I hated him by nature. My soul was so defiled. I begged for mercy at his feet, and there I took my place. And I kept right out of it until he saved me by his grace. And I'll tell you right now, you may have all the mansions in glory. You may have all the streets of pure gold. For my eyes will be scanning the heaven, looking for the one that saved my soul. I'm looking for stars up in heaven, stars that love held on the tree, stars that turn judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. Can you say amen to that? I hope and pray that you can. Because you see, in the Lord Jesus here was a cry of absolute victory. The will of God was absolutely fulfilled. The work of Christ completely satisfied Jehovah God. And there was the completion of God's law, and there was the satisfaction of the life of Christ, and the sacrifice of sin forever was finished. And then we find also, what more? There was a complete and eternal deliverance effected. Now why do I say it? Are you listening? When God saves us, he gives us a reality in our soul that our sin has been paid for.
That's it.
Are you listening? He gives it to us.
Yes.
And it's so good that at first we can hardly believe it. And we find it's a reality. You think of it. Your sin is gone because what happened? Your condemnation is gone.
Yes.
We stand before the Lord, a condemned sinner. And then suddenly and positively and mysteriously and wonderfully and indelibly the Spirit of God comes into our soul and shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is real to us. And I'll tell you right now, our conviction is gone, our sin is gone, and in its place comes the reality that Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. I don't know if he's yours or not, but I'll tell you right now, he's mine. And I'll never, never, never get over it. Now this is a cry of victory, a cry of absolute victory, a completion of God's law. And then a complete and eternal deliverance was effected. We have been accepted by the Lord God of heaven. It's a reality, and nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. Now you think on it. And then notice, we have the comfort of grace and hope manifested. There's no sinner too great to be saved. And I've said this over and over again. When God saves this old sinner, it's proof he can save anybody. And yet you probably feel the same way. But then I want you to notice, justification and adoption become reality. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Whereas before we said, oh God. Now what do we say? My Father.
Hey!
My Father. And why? Because what happened? Because we are sons, the Lord God of heaven has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now look again if you will. Then we find also that God's justice is absolutely fulfilled in the work of Christ, because always remember one thing, God will by no means clear the guilty, but through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no more sacrifice of sin possible, and we find very clearly that the Lord God of heaven is our Redeemer. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? And we find no wonder my Lord cried out. He cried out, it is finished. And he shouted that cry, and I'll tell you right now, it's been reverberating down through the council ages of time, because it is true. The work that my Lord has done, it is finished. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. It's complete, absolute, and eternal, and when it's applied to our souls, I'll tell you right now, we never, never, never get over it. I don't know about you, but more than once, I sit before the Lord and I say, Lord, why in the world have you saved this old sinner? I'm so dirty and I'm so rotten. And then what happened? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took away my sin. And there's a song that goes, in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy, to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Can you say that tonight? Oh, I hope and pray that you can. If you can, ask the Lord to show you. And I mean, don't quibble over it. All right, let's face facts. There's some of you here tonight, you're not saved. Maybe for the first time in your life, you know that. All right? When you're not saved, you have one recourse, and that is this. Super mercy. On the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I love that, and I hope you do. And then we find, last of all, are you listening? There's no other means of salvation. There's none other name under heaven to give among men, whereby we must be saved. And I'm going to tell you something else. The voice of Christ will be heard by every individual. When God sits out to save us, he doesn't come around and say, you'd make me so happy if you let me save you. Now you would think that today. You would think that they're doing God a favor. No, sir, I'll tell you what he does. He stops you in your tracks.
He
did it on the Apostle Paul. He did it to this old sinner. He stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
And he showed me who I was, the judgment that I was under. And I'll tell you right now, he put this old sinner under conviction, and it was a cry of conviction. And I'll tell you, I walked up and down the backyard crying unto the Lord. Lord, is there any hope for me? Then I went down and sat in a red chair. Now you may not understand it, but I asked the Lord to send me to hell. I was such a rotten sinner. And I didn't know that I had prayed the same prayer of Job until 4 years later. And it was in there. And we find when the Lord did save me, I'll tell you right now, I never got over it and I never will, but the voice of Christ was heard in my soul. And he reached down and delivered me. And we find also there was a voice of conviction and redemption and assurance. And then we find also, I'll tell you right now, every individual is going to hear the voice of Christ. Either in this life or at the great white throne judgment. And we find the Lord going to say to those, depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Oh, my friend today, aren't you glad that the Lord God of heaven is still saving sinners? Now some of you might say, well, preacher, will the Lord ever save me? I don't know. I believe he will. If he's begun a work in your heart, I believe he will. I don't know when and how long he's going to deal with you. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, you have a responsibility.
Right.
You need to bow down before the Lord God of heaven. Take your place as a sinner. And like the publican, what did he do? He smote himself upon the breast and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And what happened? Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified.
Right.
Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. And we find, I want to leave you with it if I can, because this is a great portion of the Word of God. And we find the voice of condemnation, it will be heard at the great white throne judgment. But I'll tell you right now, the voice of God, for in salvation, I hope you're hearing, even tonight. Oh, listen. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you, if and when it does, because I'll tell you, to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest experience you'll ever have this side of eternity. And my Lord, when he hung there on the cross, you think of it. He cried out. And I believe he was as happy as he could be when he did it. Now, I may be wrong or unbelieving, But I believe that when my Lord hung there on the cross and he checked for everything and it was all done, and they sent him, we know he took a little bit of vinegar and then he bowed his head majestically and said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. But I'll tell you right now, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." And then he said quietly, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. And he went to glory. He went to hell, as you know. And he went to glory also. And he presented the blood in the mercy seat. And I'll tell you right now, there's no more blood needed to be shed. Yes, as we sung tonight, one drop would have been sufficient, but he shed it all. He shed it all for me, as he shed it all for you. Oh, I hope and pray that you have. And I like what the song goes like this. He saved me by his wondrous grace. He gave me joy and peace within. I'm resting in his fond embrace since Jesus came and took me in. Since Jesus came and he took me in. Since Jesus came and he took me in. He cleansed my soul from guilt and sin. Hallelujah. Jesus came and took me in. Do you know what I'm talking about? I hope and pray that you do. A preacher?